Well, Riggs, Brooklyn, can you believe it's really happening? You start the first grade and you think, you know, someday I'm going to graduate. That kind of accelerates once you get into high school and you think, you know, the day is going to come when I'm going to be a senior. And then when you become a senior, you begin to think, you know, the day is going to come when I'm going to graduate and I'm going to move on to new things in my life. It is amazing how things can change so quickly. You take your turn walking across the stage, you receive your diploma, you move your tassel, and you won't be seniors anymore. You just experienced it last night, Brooklyn. You're no longer a senior. You're a graduate. Or as I got to say to Brooklyn the other night, and as I love to say to graduating seniors, and then you become one of us. And we're proud of you. We're proud of what the Lord has done in your life. You've completed a race that's been going on almost your whole life. Graduation is a really special time. It's a time when you celebrate all that has been, the classes that you've been part of, the friendships you've shared, the games you've played, the activities you've been involved in. Oh, all the things that made high school so special have been a big part of your life. And as your church, we are so glad to be witnesses of all that you've accomplished. And I want you to enjoy every moment of what it means to be a high school graduate. You know, I often tell people, I've graduated one way or another four different times from four different institutions. But the only one I really remember much about is high school graduation. It's a really, really special time. And I want you to know that what you're going through is more than just graduation. There's another term that's really important in your lives today. And that term is commencement. You know, when you go through graduation, you usually see somewhere on front of the program, commencement service. There's a real difference between graduation and commencements. Graduation means completion. It means celebrating everything that you've accomplished. Graduation is about we did it. We've accomplished it. It was so good. And I'm so glad that we finished so well. Commencement is about new beginnings. Graduation is about what has been. Commencement is about what will be next. What does the future hold for your lives? Riggs, you'll be beginning a new chapter in your life as you go to study and play at Jack State. Brooklyn, you're going to be facing a new beginning as you study nursing at UAB. Both of you are going to be moving into a new season of your life. You're going to have new opportunities. You're going to meet new people. You're going to make new choices. You're going to face new responsibilities. You're about to begin discovering the answer to one of the most important questions in your life. Not, what do I want to do? Not, what do I want to study? Not, where do I want to be? The most important question that you're going to have to answer is this: who do I want to be in the years to come? Who am I going to be? And you're the only one who can decide the answer to that question. You alone will face your own personal challenges. You alone will face your own special responsibilities. You alone will challenge the opportunities that are given to you. You alone will build your own life and your own reputation, and you'll decide for yourself how important the Lord is going to be in your life. Year by year, I stand in front of graduating seniors, and I tell them all the same thing that I'm going to tell you. One of two things is going to happen in your spiritual life in the next 4 years. As you begin a life beyond high school and as you go into college, either in 4 years, you will be deeper spiritually than you ever imagined you could be. Or in 4 years, you're going to be starting over and trying to connect with the Lord again. It's all up to you. Up to this point, you've had always had other people who have guided a lot of your choices. Parents and grandparents, teachers and friends, spiritual leaders, and they've invested so much in helping you prepare to make those decisions you're going to make as a young adult. And they will always be there for you. But from this point forward, it really is up to you. You're no longer going to be sleeping in the same house that you've always slept in. You're going to be in different places with different people, choosing a different kind of life. You'll receive the benefits of the good choices you make and accept the consequences of hard choices. You will choose your future. And that's why this morning I want to talk to you about a person in the Bible that you really need to know about. We read about him just a few moments ago. His name was Ezra. There's a book in the Old Testament with his name. Ezra understood more than most people what it means to be challenged to claim your future. Ezra was a young man when his book was first established. He was challenged by God to do something great with his life. God wanted to use Ezra to rebuild his nation. Years before, the Israelites had been defeated by their enemies, and when they were defeated, they were scattered out across an empire. They were no longer allowed to live together. They had to go to different places, and they would be in different cultures and learning different languages. And across the years, they forgot who they were. They didn't know what they stood for. There'd been no leaders to guide them. They'd even lost sight of God. And that's when Ezra was born. And the Lord spoke to Ezra and told him, "It is time for you to claim your future." Ezra was really apprehensive about what the future was going to be, because the truth is, he was very comfortable right where he was. He was serving within the empire. He was doing the best he could to make his life go forward. And now God is telling him, it's time to leave all of that behind, because I have a fresh new plan for your life. I'm going to send you to a new place. You're going to do a new thing. It's going to be an amazing opportunity. But Ezra also knew this. As he left it all behind, the challenge was going to be overwhelming. Yet by the time he arrived in Jerusalem to begin rebuilding a broken city, he was ready to claim the future. Two things had happened in Ezra's life that were so important. The first one is this. He realized, this is why I was born. This is God's plan for me. Yes, it's big. Yes, it's overwhelming. I'm not sure how I'm going to bring it about, but this is what I know. God wants me to do this. He is on my side. And the second thing God did is he gave him a strategy for claiming his future. And the strategy that he gave to Ezra is the same strategy he will give to the two of you and to all of us here today. It is God's plan for claiming the future that he has in store for our lives. So I want you to look at four steps for finding and fulfilling God's special plan. And the first step is a very simple one. It is preparation. The Bible says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Ezra knew he needed God's help to claim the future. If he tried to do it without the Lord, he was only going to experience frustration and failure. The challenge was too big for him to face all by himself. If there's anything that Ezra knew, it was this: I've got to prepare myself if God is going to use me. Ezra realized God would have to change him before he could change the situation. And nothing is different about that today than it was in his day. God changes you, and then he changes your circumstances. God changes you, and then he gives you challenges and opportunities. And yes, he even allows obstacles to come into your life. You have to be ready so God can make you the person you want to be. By the time you finish college, you will be a different kind of person. Oh, you'll still be you. You'll still have your personality. But by that time, there will be steps of maturity, and there will be steps of challenge, and there are going to be times when you really succeed, and there are going to be times when you really fail, and there are going to be some times when God teaches you through all of those things. So you have to prepare yourself to be ready to face the future. How did Ezra prepare himself for that challenge? Well, the first thing he did is he sought God's presence. He said, Lord, I can't go if you don't go with me. I can't do this if you don't help me. I need you to be with me. You know, one of the things that's about to happen to you all is this. You're going to lose all of the support systems that you've been leaning on so hard that you don't even know. You know, because you all are going to be in college. You're not going to be living at home anymore. Your mom's not going to cook your meals. You're not going to have people that you have leaned on all along, whether they are friends or teachers or coaches. Everything's going to change, except one thing. God's still going to be there for you. You will never go anywhere where He's not already there. Prepare yourself to seek His presence. More than that, he sought God's guidance. The Bible says he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. In other words, I want to know what God is telling me. There's a reason that we presented you to with a good study Bible this morning. And it's not so you'll have a souvenir of the day when the church recognized your graduation. It is because that is what you need. You need to depend upon what God says in His Word. As you seek out what He is telling you, He will give you specific direction, and He will tell you how to live, and He will teach you what to believe, and He will show you what to stand for. That's why you have His Word. And then Ezra sought God's wisdom in making plans and choosing priorities. If Ezra knew anything, it was this: I need what only God can give me. And so do you. In the days to come, you're going to face new obstacles and big challenges. And you'll have to decide how you're going to respond. You can try to handle it by yourself. Or you can get discouraged and give up. Or you can turn to the Lord. Prepare yourself by seeking God. Preparation. Second step, determination. There was one big reason that Ezra was willing to undertake this incredible challenge of going to a place that had been torn to pieces and helping his people rebuild the city, but more than that, reclaim their identity as the people of God. Why would he do all of that? Not for the recognition of others, not because he didn't want to disappoint anyone, not for the sake of his own ego. The reason he was willing to do this, the reason he was willing to take on big challenges in life is this: because it was a challenge worthy of his greatest commitment. Everybody needs a big challenge to help them become all they ought to be in life. And this one deserved everything he had to give. It would take a lifetime to rebuild Israel. Years would pass before Jerusalem and the temple were restored. Enemies would threaten him. People would disappoint him. But nothing would stop him. He was determined. Ezra was determined to do something with his life that mattered for the glory of God. He didn't want to waste his life giving first-class devotion to second-class causes. He wanted to commit himself to the things that really matter the most. And if he did, he would know that God could use him in special ways. But if he didn't, he would never know what God could have done with his life. Brooklyn and Riggs, God is inviting you to let him do something incredible with your life. Before it's all done, you may do something that will make the whole world sit up and notice, and everybody around you will know your name. Or it may be something that the world will not recognize, but God will. He'll know whether you fulfilled his plan. His plan is different for everybody. The important thing is you need to know that you gave your very best to something that was worthy of the effort. You need to know, I poured my life into this. Dedication. Third step in God's strategy, execution. Execution is the difference between having a dream and making a difference. A dreamer will say something like this, wouldn't it be nice if I did this? Or wouldn't it be nice if this happened? Or wouldn't it be nice if things changed in this way? A doer says, this is what it's going to take to bring those things about. A dreamer thinks about what they might be able to accomplish. A doer gives everything they have to making it happen. The Bible says Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. I want to know it and I want to do it. That's what the Bible says. I know a lot of people who dream about what they could be or what should be. They can discuss it, they can imagine it, they can even pray about it. And you can do the same thing and sit with the dreamers. Sooner or later, you have to step out and act. Sooner or later, you have to execute God's plan and God's calling. Riggs, it's like playing football. Brooklyn, equally is true about excelling in band. It means practicing long hours, means listening to coaches and directors and learning what you're expected to do. It means spending a lot of time preparing for it, but none of that really matters until you step out and actually put it into action. It all comes down to execution. That's why it's so important as you all are thinking about moving into college and somebody will ask you, so where are you going to go? Well, I'll tell you where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Jack State. I'll tell you where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to UAB. But really, the commitment you need to make is not, I'm going to go. The commitment you need to make is, I'm going to graduate from my school. I'm going to set out and I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to execute. I'm going to give the best I have to the opportunities in front of me. Are you willing to step out, to give your best, to pay the price? If you are, God has a future for you to claim. Then there's one more step to God's strategy for you, and it is inspiration. Ezra knew God was calling him not just to go, but to lead the way. Look at the last thing the Lord challenged Ezra to do. He said, to know the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. I'm to do it, but I'm also supposed to show the way to other people. That's really what the Bible is saying. God wanted Ezra to lead, and he wanted him to pass a vision on to other people that they could capture and they could use for generations yet to come. It was a huge challenge in his life. God's plan was bigger than just one person. It was for everybody Ezra was going to influence. And Ezra would fail unless he inspired other people to follow his lead. In the same way, God is calling you to inspire other people, to step out and lead and show the way. The Lord is calling you to do that. You know, there's a shortage in the world today. Not a shortage of food or a shortage of money or a shortage of power or a shortage of knowledge. There's a shortage of bold leaders. People who are willing to stop hiding among the crowds and be willing to step out front and lead. And there's an even greater shortage of bold Christian leaders. Each of you are facing the future with plans about what you want to study and what you want to do with your life. And over the next few years, those plans may change. You may find yourself in places you never imagined, accomplishing things you never believed you could do. But whatever the future holds, my greatest challenge to you this morning is this: face your life as a bold believer. Set an example that is worthy for other people to follow. I could challenge you in a lot of ways this morning, but if there's one thing I would say to you, it would be this: follow Jesus and show other people the way. Show other people the way. Set the example. We're proud of you guys, proud of all you've accomplished. But more than that, we're looking forward to seeing what God can do through your life. Seek the Lord. Trust the Lord. Live for the Lord. Lead the way. We're proud of these two. It was my privilege to preach this message to them, but it's not just to them, it's to all of us, because that's exactly what the world is looking for today. Bold Christian believers who are willing to point the way toward Jesus and show others how to follow Him. And maybe today, as God's dealing with your heart, it means that you need to trust Him as your personal Savior so you can begin to live with Him, live for Him. And in a moment, as we sing our invitation hymn, that's my invitation to you. If you need to know Jesus today, you come down the aisle and I'll meet you here, and I'll look forward to introducing you to the Savior. Or maybe God's calling you to be part of this fellowship, or maybe God's doing something special in your life. Is there a reason you need to come this morning? If there is, as we stand and sing, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. I come to the cross. been good to be in God's house today. I know you join me in wanting an opportunity to congratulate Riggs and Brooklyn and the accomplishment they've made as they graduate. And so I'm going to ask their parents, if you would, just walk them out to the lobby so that as we leave today, our folks can just come by and let you know how proud they are and that they're going to be praying for you in the days ahead. Let me remind our deacons, we have our regular deacons meeting today, and you think I worked hard on these two. I've got four questions that our deacons will be doing in our study time together, four prayers that we need to pray. So I look forward to seeing you for our deacons meeting and then our study, and Larry will be leading our Sunday evening group, and it's going to be a good time. Let's bow together now for a closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank you for these three who have been part of our church's youth group for so long, and Father, who have accomplished great things with their lives but have great things yet to accomplish. So Lord, bless them. Keep your hand on them. Help them to know that wherever they go, you're going to be with them. We lift them up to you, and we ask you, Lord, to help us to seek and follow your plan as well. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given. Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Give thanks.